Okay, I'll get down like this. All joking aside, I tell Brother Burke, just get it out here and I'll tune it. So we're tuning on it right now. Open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. Not going to be much lengthy text, but my, what an important text. And we're going to have some folks besides myself sharing with you tonight in just a little bit. You are going to hear some more about Anniversary Sunday. If you're visiting with us tonight, or you, in fact, if you've been in Haines City in the last 3 weeks, you've already probably heard about Anniversary Sunday at Landmark. We wear our buttons. We tell everybody we can, and we got some signs up, and we've been passing them out, and we've even gone to the post office and got them helping us pass out, mailing out some stuff. Hope it gets everywhere it's supposed to. I think there is a holiday Monday, is that correct? Anybody? School closed? And that means the post office is closed, then, don't it? Yeah, anyway, maybe it'll get to everybody, get the news out. Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to go to the theme of our Anniversary Sunday, and really the theme of the ministry to a great degree. Verse 30, Proverbs chapter 11. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now think about this just a minute. The fruit of the righteous. Now let me get you to remember, who is the righteous? We're not righteous in ourselves. We're only righteous when we're clothed in his righteousness, right? So that means saved folks. We've been washed in the blood and know the Lord Jesus. So the fruit, what we're supposed to produce. You know what should come as a result of you and I being saved is that somebody else ought to get saved. That's the fruit. It says it's a tree of life. It was a tree of life when I heard the gospel to me, for sure. And he that winneth souls is wise. Now, we could flip that and it would still be true. He that winneth souls is wise, and he that is wise winneth souls. Right? And you find out as you get over in the book of Daniel that one day soul winners are going to be recognized in heaven. They're going to shine, the Bible says, as the stars forever and ever. In other words, somebody says, well, I serve God, nobody ever knew about it. Well, don't serve it for man's recognition. God's recording everything. Amen? And that's the one that counts. I'm going to talk a little bit here about Anniversary Sunday. I still remember the first one, right after Noah parked the boat. Now, I'm joking with you, but it's been a long time ago, 48 years. But I still got good memories of it. We promoted, and we started off with 37 in Sunday school, and we'd gotten up over several hundred, and I forget, I think it was 407 that we had that first year on Anniversary Sunday. We didn't have all the means we got now. We didn't have all the ways of doing. We went over to the ballpark over here. It was the only place we could get free. We didn't have none of this stuff we got now as far as property and ball fields and all that. So we went over there. We made up our own games and stuff. And I did borrow a Shetland pony from somebody. Anybody know what a Shetland pony is? That's what you prayed for when you was a kid. I remember. Somebody said, it's a good thing God didn't answer all my prayers. I don't know what I'd done with that Shetland pony in town, you know. But anyway, I borrowed one from somebody, and they wanted me to be very careful. They said, most of the time he's tame, but he can have a mean streak. Well, that scared me up good enough. Guess who led the Shetland pony? I did. I got a hold of that fella, and we walked after church. I mean, kids just kept coming and riding. That was that first Anniversary Sunday. That's been a long, long time ago. Then we did some better things, and we were in the old church building, and we were packing it out. And so we had to have junior churches and everywhere we could, back in the Sunday school rooms. And then on that particular Sunday, we pitched a tent over here on the grounds. And we didn't really go rent a tent like we do now. We invented a tent. We got some canvas and some rope, and we tied everything we could, and we had that thing up, kind of made a big shady tent out of it. It was right over about right over in this section right here. My brother Harvey, who I don't mention much, but he sure does need your prayers. He's in constant pain all the time. Can hardly make it back and forth from the bed to the restroom and the table and that sort of thing. But in those days, he was active and was just building a reputation for a gun show. That's back before guns became so evil. And he would do a Western show. And it was a great show. It was a gospel show. And he had a reputation at that time of being the fastest fast draw in Florida. He'd gone down to Miami and won the contest. And he had invented some tricks that presented the gospel. Let me see who I'm talking to tonight. Did you ever see one of his shows? Raise your hand. All right, there's several around, but not even close to half this crowd. And he done some great things. First place, he dressed up like pretty much like the Lone Ranger, white hat, blue shirt. He did pull off the mask for the shooting, but he was really good at it. And he had various things he'd do. He had colored balloons, red, white, blue balloons, as his targets. And as he would draw and shoot the targets, he would talk about what the colors represented. And of course, he would go through the gospel, what represented sin, and by the way, what represented the cure for sin, which is red, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he'd shoot a balloon out and do these tricks, he would present the gospel real good. And it was just a real great show. My problem was I was trying to teach adult Sunday school while he was outside doing that. And all my adults wanted to make excuse to go out and usher or help so they could see the program outside. That's what they did. But I had some great times like that as we would do. And later on, he even come up with a trick Palomino horse, and that horse could count and do a bunch of stuff. And so the kids loved it to death. So it was part of our anniversary Sunday. And that's grown as we've added things to it through the years. That's the party. First is church, and that's the most important thing. And that's the verse I read about we're doing something to attract folks to hear the gospel, to get them saved. Not asking them to do anything wrong, but right, and to come to the house of God and hear the preaching. And through the years, our team has grown of folks that have helped us. Now we have the Whiteheads that bring the horses. And have you noticed there's a line from beginning to end to ride those horses? Now, when I was about that high, that would have been the biggest trick on the field to me, too. And just love the horses. And I remember, I don't know where it was, one of the earliest anniversary Sunday parties. I believe it was my secretary that first come up with it. They said, we're going to paint faces. I said, what do you mean, paint faces? And I couldn't believe it that kids would line up to have that stuff put on their face. But they've been doing that ever since. And it's a big thing with them. Anyway, ladies, don't get excited. It's a little different than the paint you use. But all right. Anyway, we just, through the years, have seen it grow, and it is an attraction to get as many as we can to come hear the gospel. And kids that have been will tell other kids. And I'm telling you, and I've talked to the teachers about it quite a bit, try to use the next few days we've got to get everybody to come we can. And I've been hearing some good things. I've been hearing, even in the neighborhood, different statements and all the visitation going on. And of course, the bottom line is to get them to hear about the Lord Jesus. We're after seeing them saved. And I'm going to ask Sister Brenda Condon if she'll come up, because in the big party, we have a soul winning booth, and maybe she'll tell you about it. And again, that surprised me that there would always be kids in the midst of the party and stop to let somebody personally tell them about the Lord Jesus. And Sister Cunningham, just come share a testimony. She was kind of feeling bad, but she came on in anyway to do this. I believe I got this low enough for you. Okay.
I guess I will adjust that. Well, just like the preacher was talking about the different gimmicks and things that you use, and I don't think the Lord minds us doing those things, you know, just to do what we can to get a soul saved. And just like Brother Harvey Carter doing the gun thing, and, you know, kids remember that. And I've been soul winning in this town for a long, long time, and it's like these older adults still remember those days. Every year, I mean, they'll tell you that they were here. That might have been the only time that they ever come was on the big day, but, you know, if they came and got saved, then praise the Lord. Amen. And that's kind of how the soul winning booth got started back years ago. Brother Dr. James Gardner from Amazing Grace Missions came by, and he was needing some workers for the Orlando Fair. And so the Foster Club had just been started a few years at that time, and so some of us ladies went up there and worked in the booth there, and saw how that was done, and that was exciting, you know, to be at the fair and see people out there having fun. But they stopped long enough to come in and hear the gospel and get saved. And it's a lot easier than going out door knocking where you're scared to death at that, you know, unknown door, and the people come right to you. And it's amazing to stand there, just like we do over here. We don't go out there and try to entice them to come in or give them a prize. We don't do any of that. But just to stand there and just watch the Holy Spirit just working on the people out there. You can just stand back in the tent and just watch them. They may pass by two or three times before they ever come in, but they will. I remember, I think it was last year, I can't remember if it was Daniel Betancourt or Timothy Roberts. They were helping me in the tent. I think it was Timmy, and I told him, I said, watch that person right there, because I had seen him come by two or three times, you know. I said, you watch him. And sure enough, he couldn't believe it, and I went over there, and I said, there they are, they're there, they're coming, you know. So these young soul winners are learning, you know, that you just got to wait on the Holy Spirit. So, and I think that's what's so exciting about soul winning to begin with, is just watching the Holy Spirit at work in people's lives. And just drawing them to the gospel. And one of the things I wanted to share with you here, I know the preacher mentioned it Sunday night, and I wasn't prepared to tell him how many was saved last year, but 49 were saved last year. 10 of those were adults. I know we talk about the children a lot of times, but there's a lot of adults. We see them. I watched it for years, you know, just watching them walk in off the streets. And some of them know the little thing now that they can still show up, whether they come to church or not, or meet their kids, you know, after church, send their kids on the bus, and then they just come up later. So it's okay. You know, you've heard it said, if you feed them, they'll come. So I would rather them come than not. But anyway, so we do have a lot of adults there, and 10 of those were adults that got saved. And one of the blessings I'll tell, I don't see Brother Scotty in here, but Brother Scotty and Barbara Drake brought their great-granddaughter into the tent last year, and I got to lead her to the Lord, and that was just a real sweet blessing. There, and I remember Brother Alan Johnson was here from Bearing Precious Seed, was here last January, and of course he speaks several different languages, and he got to lead some Spanish men to the Lord, and that was amazing to watch that happen right out there on the field. And, you know, just so many things. And how many of you got to see the video that comes down and see the signs that we put up? Anybody get to see that? Most of them are just questions. Where will you be when you look like this? And you look down there and there's a skull, you know, and it says heaven or hell. Well, you're just standing there and you're waiting for them to look and go, ah, you know. And so you look at them and say, well, where would you be, heaven or hell? So they have to, you know, answer that. And that's the open door for you to talk to them about the gospel. And then the other one says, are you 25, 50, 75, or 100% sure that you would go to heaven when you die? And so you're looking at them for an answer, you know. And so so you don't have to do a whole lot. It's just already right there for you. Then we have a new box that we have out there for a couple of years. It says, see three things that God cannot do, and it's three doors that you open up. And, of course, the last one says, God cannot let you into heaven unless you've been born again. And so you ask them if they've been born again, and you just go from there. And one of them is a big year, 12-month calendar, and it says, when were you born? And we give them a little marker, and they mark when their birth date was. And then you say, well, when were you born again? And they just, duh. You know, some of them can tell you, but some of them can't. So then you get to just, it's just an open door for you to use to get the gospel to them. And it's just been amazing through the years. And that's where I got the first, the glimpse at it when I went to the Orlando Fair that year. And for some reason, it just kind of stuck to my mind. And so many years after working out there on the ball field in the different booths and stuff, and just seeing so many people walk in, and I think I told this one year before, but I had, when your preacher just said, I just need some people to police the area. I think that was even before we started getting security in there. So I said, well, I'm just not going to work a booth this year. I'm just going to take my New Testament and just walk around. And so that's what I did. And that's when you just see so many people walking in. And I remember these two women walking. I saw them coming down that road over there, and they came in that end gate that was open. And they were pushing strollers. And so they came in, and they got in line, and evidently they met their children here that had rode the bus. And so they were waiting in the pony line, which is always a good line because it's long and they can stand there a long time. And so, but I got to lead both of those ladies to the Lord just standing there. And so I would like to encourage you that are working the booths wherever you are. If there's a line there, just go up and start talking to all those people there. If they tell you that they're already saved and everything, that's great. You know, you can tell them how wonderful that is that they got, that they're already saved. And some of the most special times is when some of these young ones will come up and look at the displays, and then you ask them, you know, the question or whatever, and they say, oh, I got saved in junior church or in Sunday school. And then you can rejoice with them as well at that time and let them know how important that was that they did that. And we also give them, when they do get saved, we just bring them right into the tent, sit down and just open our Bible and share the gospel with them real quick, and fill out a card on them. We do follow up with them. We give a card out to all the bus workers when we find out what bus they come off of. And so they are followed up on. And we give them a little card that says, it has their birth certificate. And we put on there, it's already written out. All you have to do is fill in their name on there and your name. And it tells them that they got saved, you know, born again on January the 27th this year. And, but thank you, I appreciate that. And I don't know if you want anything else there, but I appreciate all those helpers that have worked through the years, and then those that have already signed up. And if you'd like to, all you need to do is know how to give out the gospel. All right? Thanks.
Not only is it good to see somebody one to the Lord, but it's good to do you good to do that, to share the gospel. And you get Sister Condon, she'll make room for you. Of course, we have a large bus ministry. We've had it for years. It's not maybe as large as sometimes, but it's very important. And so we started off calling the party a bus party. Well, it's bigger than that now, but it still is that. And we have a burden for reaching the kids that would not be here if we didn't run the buses. Amen. Guarantee they wouldn't be. And we appreciate all of our bus workers. Brother James Vercellus has done a good job in that area in the past, and he's back with us now. We're glad to have him back, coming back to work with us in the college. And we're going to ask Brother James to come up, maybe about 10 or 12 minutes, Brother James, whatever, and kind of, this guy has a burden for the bus ministry. And he gets results, and we praise God for it. Come on, Brother James.
Amen. Again, thank you, church, for just the honor and privilege it is to come and to serve here. And as I mentioned before, in the previous ministry that we were at for 6 years, it was my burden to have a bus ministry. It was my burden to be able to do whatever we could to reach a lost and a dying world. And far too many of our children are getting lost. And It's a burden of mine to do all that we can to reach every single generation, starting from the youngest. And even with what Ms. Congdon mentioned as far as doing whatever's necessary to get their attention, right? With, for instance, at the Salvation Station, having the little booths up there to get their attention to come in. Well, we have our own little gimmicks, as you could call, in the bus ministry to get people here for Anniversary Sunday, something that we had started quite some time ago. Actually starts with this. You know, a lot of times, what it really takes is just to get someone's attention to stop and talk to you. You know, when you really think about it, when you think about the bus ministry as a whole, it's kind of crazy to think when you go up to someone's door and you knock on their door for the first time ever and you tell them, I'd like to take your child away from you from 8 o'clock in the morning till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not exactly sure what might happen during that time, and you have no idea what's going to happen during that time, but we'd like to take them from you. You know, that's kind of difficult when it really comes down to it for a parent that loves their child and cares for the child to just let their child come on the bus. The unfortunate thing and the burden is also is that far too often they say, here, take them. But a lot of times what it takes is just to get that barrier down, right? To build that trust, to let them know how much you love their children. Now you're thinking, what is this guy doing with a clown nose? What I'm doing is as I walk up to that door, I'm telling them that I love your child enough to look like a clown to bring your child to church. You see, we have honestly, it's the biggest expense the church has is Anniversary Sunday. Everything's free food, free games, free prizes. That's what we tell all the kids. All the work and the laboring and that everything's involved that goes out. In fact, this year we're doing more than we have in the past. There's flyers for every single one of the bus routes. We've got banners on buses going out. We've got billboards going up. We've got all the mailers going out. Everything that we're doing, everything we possibly can. For what reason? So that souls can be saved. You know, if we won't turn to the scripture, but in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah first saw the Lord for who he was, high and lifted up. And then Isaiah saw who he was, lost and undone, a man of unclean lips. And then he said, here am I, send me. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to reach a lost and a dying world, whatever's necessary. Are we willing to do whatever we can and are willing to do to reach a lost and a dying world, even if it starts with a nose? You know, we've got the buttons on, and I won't ask or have anyone stand like Dr. Pitts did at the bus meeting just this last week, who does not have their button. But how many of you, by a show of hand, have had your button on and someone have asked you, what is that button about? So many people, so many hands, so many times by just getting their attention. How much more if we grab their attention when you went into work and you look like a clown? Well, what are you dressed like that for? To invite you to church. Because it's the biggest day of the year. It's when we celebrate our pastor being there for 48 years. And deep down, I'm saying, I want you to be saved. You know, there's more than that. I've got a bin here of carnival hats that we put on and all these different things that we're willing to do, all the different things. We've had floats. I've pulled around a float on the bus route in the past. I've had one of our mini buses covered up with banners and with all kinds of different things, playing carnival music that was actually, for instance, Jesus Loves Me to carnival sound. Actually sounds incredible. All right. But ultimately, what it all comes down to is, what are we willing to do to reach a lost and a dying world? All right. Even if it means looking like a clown. Amen. Amen.
James, you got the hats in the box there?
I do.
Show a few of them. I think Levi'd look good with one right here.
Those people that say, I'll come when pigs fly, so you got that.
Amen. Oh, good job. Good job. I've never seen it, but I think there was a guy in Chicago or somewhere, maybe back in the early part of the century. People would see him walking down the street, and he'd have one of those signs where his head went through, and it was a sign on the front and a sign on the back. You've seen them advertise in restaurants or various things. And he'd walk down the street, and the sign on the front said, "I'm a fool for Christ." And from time to time, people would laugh and point. But as he went by and they looked back at him, the sign on the back said, "Whose fool are you?" Pretty good, huh? Very accurate. Very accurate. Bus ministry has been something we started first year we came. It's been a tool for the Lord. No telling how many thousands of kids have come to this place and heard the gospel through 48 years. Time to time, we know stories of different ones. And I remember a number of years ago when that killer out in Texas killed so many young boys and buried them under his house or something. Found out later that a number of those young boys had been in a bus ministry, got picked up by a bus ministry in Jacksonville, Florida, where Dr. Bob Gray was pastor. And they'd gotten saved up there before they got murdered by that maniac. No telling. I'm going to read you something that some of you have heard before. It'll take me about 2 minutes to read it, and we'll end the service with this. This was written to me in 2009, December the 4th, 2009. I'm going to read it fairly slow, so I just want you to hear it. It'll only be a couple of minutes. "Dear Pastor Carter, I just want you to know what a difference that you and your church made in my life. You see, Pastor Carter, back in 1972, our bus ministry had been about a year old. Back in 1972, my mom and my sister and myself moved to Haines City. My mom had remarried and moved to Haines City to be near our grandparents. And when my mom remarried, that is where my sister and my life, her life and my life, changed to a nightmare. Anyway, I was traveling through Polk County a while back, going down Highway 27 and listening to 90.3. And the subject that you were preaching on hit so close to my heart that I had to pull over on the side of the road and give you my full attention. You were talking about the time when you walked into a barber shop." By the way, that building we own now right in front of the hotel is a barber shop there. "You were talking about the time when you walked into a barber shop and you were discussing the little yellow church bus." What she didn't say is I was arguing with the barber about it. Gas had gone up and he was fussing about seeing my buses around town. He said I was wasting gas. That's true. Anyway, "when you walked into a barber shop and you were discussing the little yellow bus, church bus. Well, here is my story. One Saturday afternoon," and she names the street, and I'm not going to name the street because it's not very far from here. "One afternoon on my street, two gentlemen and a lady from your church walked into my front yard and invited my sister and myself to church. My mom and my stepdad did not attend any church, and I told them that we had no way to get there. They gave us a church pamphlet and told us that a yellow church bus would pick us up, bring us home. They talked to us for a long time about Jesus. At that time, I was 12 years old and my sister was 7 years old. We asked our stepdad, could we go? He said, good, that would get us out of his hair for a while. But I was told to keep my mouth shut about what he was doing to us. Pastor Carter, you have no idea what that yellow church bus meant to us. It took us to Jesus' house, where everyone was nice and loving. Something that we never got at our house. I was saved in your church, and you baptized me yourself. The things that you, Pastor Carter, and the wonderful church workers, Sunday school teachers, and the driver of that yellow bus set the foundation that would forever change my life. What I got at your church at the age of 12 was the strength of the Lord to endure the sexual and mental abuse that I was receiving at home. I just wanted to let you know how important that yellow bus was to me. It was my ride from hell to heaven, if only for a few hours. Today, Pastor Carter, I'm 52 years old. I raised 6 children, 3 girls and 3 boys. God bless me with wonderful, God-loving kids. I raise them in church, and they take their kids to church. I even taught Sunday school for several years, even though I live in another state. Some of my children still live in Polk County, and when I visit, I come to your church. I say, I wouldn't have known that. Do not know who she, by looks who she is. And I listen to your preaching on 90.3. God has blessed you and your wonderful church. I still got my white Bible that a sweet lady at your church gave me in 1972. I keep it in my china cabinet, proudly displayed. I had to replace it with a Bible with larger print, easier to read. Pastor Carter, God laid it on my heart to write you and let you know how something as simple as those church people visiting on a Saturday made an unmeasuring, life-altering difference in my life. I've carried it with me now for 40 years and still going. I lived in hell for 4 years before we were removed from the home where we were living. The house on Blank Street, and I know where it is gone now. It's torn down. But my, how your church is given. God triumphs over evil. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Carter, for taking the time to read my simple letter of thanks. May God continue to pour blessings on you and your family and your church. Keep visiting homes, knocking on doors, inviting children to church. Who knows? That one door you knock on could be a life-altering knock. And it all started when I climbed aboard that yellow church bus. And she signed it. And I actually believe, folks argue with me about what I remember and what I don't, but I actually believe I recognize the name. I'm just saying to you, it's going to be a lot of work anniversary Sunday. And a lot of expense. But one like this, just one, makes it worth it. Amen. Makes it worth it. We're going to have prayer charts on the wall, I think by Sunday night, I believe I'm correct on that, where we try to pray around the clock. We'll have them there, but we'll actually start trying to pray Wednesday night through Saturday night around the clock. You remember that? The devil hates victories like this. But look at there, from a home like that with terrible abuse, God pulls one out, saves them, they raise a great family for the Lord. That's what it's about, folks. It's not just fun and games. It is very real, and souls are in the balance. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for the truth of the gospel, the power of the gospel that still saves. Help us, Lord, we pray, against the tricks and the wiles of the devil. We plead the blood of Jesus against him, that you'd bind him and keep him off your ministry, that souls could be saved. Father, there's a lot of kids out there that could tell this same story. They may be living in that same hell right now that this lady tells us about. Help us, Father, to see how serious what we're doing really is. And Father, I pray you'd add your blessing to every piece of work, every dollar, everything that's being done. Give us a great victory and many souls to be saved. Bless the choir now as they get ready for Sunday, and bless the visitation tomorrow. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God.